Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, which you heard read earlier. The introduction to our collect of the day this morning made this objective statement: Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. But it doesn't always look like it, does it? But make no mistake, our Lord God does show mercy to all his people in all their trials and tribulations and troubles. And that includes you, dear baptized believer in Christ. Our Lord is long-suffering and compassionate toward you, even when it doesn't look like it. Your problem and mine is that the sinful human nature wants to trust the eyes of our flesh, what we see, trusting that seeing is believing, and then we build our own false god around what we see and trust in that instead of our Heavenly Father. But human eyes cannot see God working behind the scenes in all things, even in your trials and tribulations, to bring about his good and his gracious will in your life and most especially for your salvation. But thanks be to God that in baptism, God granted you eyes of faith to grasp hold and cling ever fast to the invisible promises of Jesus, looking to Jesus as the founder and perfecter of your faith. So, in weakness, we pray that Almighty God grant us always to recognize his goodness, give thanks for his compassion, and praise his holy name. Now, we hear about this kind of faith in all three of our readings this morning. In our Old Testament reading, we hear about the faith of a young woman named Ruth. She is a widow from Moab that becomes an Israelite. Naomi's husband died, and then her two sons died, and she decided to leave Moab and return to her hometown of Bethlehem. Orpah, the wife of one of Naomi's dead sons, is content to stay in Moab and return to her mother's home and her own gods. But Ruth, the wife, the widow of the other dead son, insists on going on to Bethlehem with Naomi, saying, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God." This is Ruth's proclamation of faith in the God of Israel. And it was the beginning of her journey that ends with her becoming the great-grandmother of King David, an ancestor of Jesus. In our epistle text, St. Paul is bound in chains, sitting in prison. He's writing to his young protege named Timothy. It is kind of Paul's last will and testament of sorts. He's sitting there awaiting execution. And he knows that his death could come any day, but he still takes the time to write to Timothy to encourage him, reminding Timothy of his faith in Christ. And now he takes Paul's place as the one who brings men into the office of the holy ministry. And Paul exhorts him to share in the faith and the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, fighting the good fight of faith. In our gospel reading, Jesus commends the faith of the Samaritan leper. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified on the cross for your sins and mine and the sins of all mankind. He enters a village with 10 lepers who cry out to him. Leprosy is an infectious disease that disfigures its victim, giving the appearance that the flesh is rotting away. And a leper was essentially as good as dead in that society because by law, they were required to be isolated from all other people. except for other lepers. And the leper was obligated to stand far off and shout, "Unclean, unclean," so no one would accidentally come in contact with him. It was a lonely life of separation from the healthy society. And by nature, you and I have much in common with the lepers. Sin is a leprosy of the soul. It is a disease that corrupts your thoughts, your words, your deeds, and it isolates you from family and friends. But more importantly, it makes you unclean before God. It separates you from the Heavenly Father, leaving you as a leper standing far off from God. And without healing from this leprosy of sin, that your sin will separate you from God for all of eternity. Now, the lepers in our text apparently had heard about Jesus and his teachings and miracles. They know of their unworthiness, and they know that Jesus has no reason to answer them. Yet they humbly believe that he alone has the power to free them of their disease and return them to their community. Observing the Old Testament law concerning leprosy, they stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." According to the law, all who had been healed of leprosy must go to the priest and be proclaimed unclean and purified so that they could live back in society and go to the temple. Jesus sent them to the priests as a test of their faith. He never told them that they would be healed, but why else would he send them to the priests? So, having no visible evidence of healing, these 10 lepers are faithful in doing what Jesus commanded. They go in faith in the promise. And that's exactly what faith does. While knowing your unworthiness before God, you cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me," holding fast to what you cannot see, firmly trusting that the Lord hears your cries and he delivers all his people out of their troubles. And even if it doesn't look like it, and he doesn't deliver you out of your troubles on this side of heaven, you know that he will deliver you spiritually and eternally with him in heaven. As the lepers went, 10 out of 10 are cleansed. 10 show their faith. 10 are healed. But only one returns to give praise to God and worship him, God in the flesh of Jesus. 9 Jews take the blessing of physical healing, but only one, the foreigner, the one at least expected to return, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. It's an act of worship as the healed leper prostrates himself on the ground before Jesus in thanksgiving. The 9 others received the same healing. They received God's mercy. They owed the same debt of gratitude and thanksgiving toward Jesus, but they failed to respond. Now, our text does not say, but perhaps they were like the seed that was sown among the thorns. Their weak faith was choked out by their newfound health and their access to the cares and pleasures of life. 10 were healed, but only one, the foreigner, returned to give thanks. 10 received healing, but one received something far greater. Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Another translation in the original language Jesus says, your faith has saved you. What wonderful words of salvation. 10 received new life on earth. However, only one received new life in Christ. 10 were cleansed of their disfiguring disease and no longer were separated from society. But only one was cleansed of the disease of sin and was reconciled with his Father in heaven. Now, Scripture doesn't say if the other 9 ever did come to life-saving faith, but what we do know would happen that one day all 10 would die an earthly death, be buried in the ground, and return to dust. And on the last day, when Jesus returns, only one of those who died with life-saving faith in Christ Jesus will be raised to life in heaven, living eternally with God. It is one thing to be healed from the bondage of a human disease in this world, but it's quite another thing to be healed from the bondage of sin and death. The Lord God shows mercy to all his people in all their troubles, and that includes you. Even when it doesn't look like it, God has mercy upon you. Unfortunately, it is true, there are times in this life, in God's mysterious hidden wisdom, it is not his will that you be healed according to your own desire, to be healed from your trials and your troubles. But God's mercy endures forever, and your salvation is secure. No one can steal that from you. Ruth's husband died, yet she did not go after a younger husband, a husband rich or poor. No, she sacrificed her own culture that she grew up in, leaving her original family, her country, all that she knew, her religion, and trusted entirely in the God of Israel. St. Paul was languishing in prison, bound in chains like a criminal waiting death. Yet he knows his future is secure. He writes, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is love, and loves you faithfully because that is who he is. It is the very essence of his nature. And he shows you mercy in all your troubles, even when it doesn't look like it. In baptism, he granted you eyes of faith so you could grasp and hold fast to God's invisible promises, looking forward to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. But the devil is still prowling, tempting you to look at your life with your human eyes, staring at all your trials and tribulations with your eyes of the flesh, and causing you to doubt and grieve. And God's law tells you what you are to do and not to do. And unfortunately, even though you know what you are supposed to do, you do otherwise. And God allows you to find yourself in tough situations. He tests your faithfulness, just as he tested the lepers. Jesus desires that you are faithful to his word and not give in to your sinful desires. And faith always does what is faithful, not what is most appealing or pleasurable. And daily, you and I prove ourselves to be unfaithful. But while you remain unfaithful, Jesus remains faithful to you. He intercedes for you. He cries out, Lord, have mercy upon my little sheep. The disease of your sin does not push Jesus away. He knew you were sinful before he came in the flesh of man. He came so that he could take his sin upon your sin upon himself, regardless of how disfiguring and diseased you appear. He took all that sin upon himself, came for you while you were walking dead in your transgressions, and he came to bear your sin all the way to the Calvary's cross to set you free from your bondage. All precious gifts, one on Calvary's cross. And where does he pour out those gifts to you? Right here in Word and Sacrament. That's why you're here this morning. Many people think that the pastor wants to see the parishioners in church and in Bible study because it makes his ego feel good or makes the numbers look good in the back of the bulletin. No, your pastor wants to see you in worship and Bible study because, like a leper, you cannot cure yourself. Your pastor wants to see you in worship and Bible study because this is the place where Jesus promises to come to you and pour out his precious gifts upon you. He brings his medicine of immortality to you in his Lord's Supper, bringing you forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is where you are armed with the whole armor of God so that you may withstand the assaults and schemes of the devil. This is the place where Jesus delivers his gifts. For the sake of Christ Jesus, God has had mercy on you on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And he holds his promises for you that he made you in baptismal waters. He has created and sustained faith and sustains faith within you. And he has adopted you into his holy church. And nothing at all can separate you from his love. And you can be absolutely confident that he is with you. He always answers your prayers. He is always with you to the very end of the age. Even when it doesn't look like it. And how does a Christian respond to this unselfish love? Well, you respond like the leper. You respond by giving thanks to God with a loud voice, worshiping him and bearing fruits of repentance and fruits of faith, turning from your sin and performing good works and deeds, giving of your tithes and offerings so that the gospel can continue to be proclaimed and the sacraments administered. And you don't do all these things to earn his favor, but it's because on the love that Christ first had for you. Jesus has redeemed you of all your sin and reconciled you back with the Father. He shows you mercy in all your troubles. And by faith in Christ Jesus, you are no longer a leper. You are no longer an outcast, but you are a child of God. And each and every day, you can rise and go your way because God, your God-given faith has saved you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.